All right, let's open to Genesis chapter 30. We're going into our module 3. Oops, that didn't hold. Let's see. That one. There we go. And 3. Straight her down there. Just put those around. All right. Let's look at your requirements for the class. Each time that we've done Genesis, I've asked you to do two things. One is you're going to, and I'm going to find me a proper pen here. We gotta stop the kids from playing with my markers. I need markers. Ready to go. Okay. Okay, that's better. All right. So, when you're reading Genesis chapter 30, all right, you're actually going to be reading Genesis 30 through 50. Each chapter, okay, number one, each chapter that you're reading offline, chapter, let me just catch up myself here, needs the following things, okay? You need 10 questions that come up that you need to ask yourself and either write out about the chapter. Then you need to have 10 answers. I want you to not just come up with questions. Anybody come up with questions. But I need you to see also the answers. They can be simple. They don't have to be very deep. But you need to have 10 questions, 10 answers. What's the purpose of that? It's to get you so you're thinking about every chapter. Some of the chapters are going to be hard to come up with 10. All right? But really, really try and get 10 each chapter. And then also, I need a brief outline of your on your own. Now, that means this. You'll say, A, such and such happened. Okay? You can go specific and go, one, first, this happened. Two, then this. And then B, so-and-so died, you know? C, God intervened. I don't care. The point is that you need to be able to give me... Now, I already give you a pretty detailed outline. But I need your way of seeing that chapter. So every chapter has a brief outline. It needs to have at least 1, 2, 3 big points. Maybe some sub-points. The purpose of that is so that you see the structure of every chapter of Genesis. Now, that's a lot of writing. So don't put it off until the end of the semester. Try to get it done every week. I mean, we only do this once a week. So you should be able to do 2 chapters a week and even get 10 chapters done during a week. It ought to be done as if it's your normal Bible reading. Now, you need to be here early on Saturday, and you need at least 80% of your attendance. If you miss a class, talk to me. All the classes will be online and recorded so that you can make them up. But don't just miss class. I need you here. So, I'm going to dispense with all the introductions and all the preparation of the background. So you're going to want to open up now in Genesis here, the book of beginnings here in your outline. I recommend that you get you a binder, one of these ring binders, and put all of your stuff for Bible Institute into there. So it's just ready to go. And you'll thank me later for having it all instead of constantly going, I lost this and I lost that. Okay, so all of the background to Genesis, you can actually go back and listen to the introduction from the first module back over a year ago. That's online as well. We're going to talk about chapter 30. And then you go to Psalm 127. I know I've got you in Genesis 30, but also find Psalm 127, verse 4.
and 5. Right, now we will move fairly rapidly now that we're in the Institute's part of the day. 127, we're doing discipleship from 9 until 10, and so we take our time there, but now we go full speed. Psalm 127, verse 4 and 5. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. What's a quiver? Francis, what do you think a quiver is? Happy is the man that hath... And this is a guy who's spoken Tagalog for a long time, and he's having to learn English. Some people in Ireland don't know what the word is. So what do you think it is? Has his quiver full of them. What's a quiver? These guys, these are words that go along with an archer. These guys who shoot with bows and arrows. So children like arrows, and anybody who was an archer, somebody who fought with bows and arrows, had a pouch on the back. And it looked like a small golf bag with golf clubs in it, okay, but instead of golf clubs, you put arrows in it. So it's his backpack that carried the arrows. And you don't want to go into battle with 1, 2 arrows. You go into battle with how many? As many as you can pack in there. And God says, let me find a verse, happy is a man that has his quiver full of them. Of what? Of children. Alright? They shall not be ashamed when they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. Can you imagine? Here somebody's coming up to attack your house, and you come up and you've got a pack full of arrows. And he says, make your first step, okay? So you're ready to fight. This is a principle that God likes large families. God does. It's not that you have to have 25 children, but you should not fear having a large number of children in your family, and it shouldn't be looked down on. God honors families. And so Jacob gets a very large family, as you well know. Marriage is a wonderful thing, but most of the time it becomes a nightmare for most people. Because of one problem. What do you think the one problem? It's the other person, isn't it? No, it's because of something called flesh. The Bible calls it the flesh, but we know it as the old nature. So when two people who have their own fleshly natures combine, they can explode like nitro and glycerin. God designed them to combine like iron and carbon does. You can combine the right materials and you make something stronger than either one of them ever were before. That's what steel is. You take iron and carbon and you make steel. You take nitro and glycerin, you make a bomb. So it depends on how we're put, how we come together. Now with Jacob, it's far worse than even that. Jacob ends up not with one wife, but how many? 4 wives. Talk about stupid. He has 13 children. He even has a brother-in-law that keeps him trapped no matter what he does. So all throughout this, watch as the Lord behind the scenes frustrates Jacob and breaks him. In spite of all this hassle, Jacob will end up with the 12 tribes. That's your first fill-in in Genesis. You're on page 173. I'm reading the introduction, so I don't mean to go too fast. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. My page is a little bit different. Okay, so these are your requirements for the class. And this is an example of what you'll be doing. You'll be doing an outline and then your questions and answers from every chapter. I'll give you an example. I'll maybe explain that a little bit later. But we're now here. We're in F. Jacob's going to end up with 12 tribes of people. That'll shine as a symbol of God's mercy and grace throughout all time. And there's still the 12 tribes, aren't they? So, let's start with our lesson. We'll go from bad to worse. Let's read here, and we'll read down to verse 21. And Barry, let's see, I'm going to ask you to read Genesis 30, 12, verses 1 to 21.
And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her. and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son, therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali.
So who is she wrestling with? Who is she struggling against?
Leah.
She's doing this in competition with her sister.
Go ahead. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him, and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me up my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah.
Wow. There's a lot of activity going on there, isn't there? Okay. Now, it's over years. How many years do you think have transpired, Barry? What do you think? This didn't all happen in 6 weeks.
Not 15?
Not quite. Not 15 years. I'd say 5, maybe 6 years. All right? You have three women producing children. So it's not one wife producing this many children. It's three. All right. So let's do Roman numeral, or big A, there in your lesson on your page. And your fill-in here is going from bad to worse, is your fill-in there. Is your first thing where it says lesson A? You know what? Why don't you have one? I apologize. Right there. All right. Now, also to remind you, each one of these classes, they cost 25 euros. So that's just to pay for the printing and stuff and for the electricity. I don't get anything out of it, so except just fun of making you guys miserable. So going from bad to worse is your first feeling. Keep going there. Keep turning the next page. Right there, up at the top. Go from bad to worse. All right. So Rachel, now we just read the Bible. Let's go over some of the notes. Rachel has a scheme. She has no children. And Leah, at this point, already has four. She has what's called an empty nest, an empty life in her marriage without kids. And barrenness, when you're married and you don't have any children, it's usually seen as a failure. It's true. And anybody tells you, here's a man and a woman and they get married, and 1 year passes, 2 years passes, 3 years passes. Guess what their parents are asking? Guess what people are asking? When are you going to get us some children? When are you going to get some grandchildren? And your feeling there is failure. It's usually seen as a failure in the person. It's just like ugliness to them, being dumb. But here, who's stopping them? Who's stopping Rachel from having children?
God.
It's God doing it. So be careful not to judge somebody because they can't do something. God may be just working out something. So B, now let's look at envy. Envy. So you're filling there with little B is envy. And Nicola, would you look up Proverbs 27:4? Keep your place in Genesis. And find Proverbs 27 in verse 4. Amen. That's the way to go.
Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?
Wow. So how do you like being around people who are full of wrath?
No.
No. What does it say? It says wrath is cruel. What's the rest of it say?
It says Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Outrageous.
Yeah, it's out of control.
Yeah.
Who can stand before somebody who has envy? All right, so envy is very destructive. In James chapter 3, he says envy does not come from God. Envy is of this world. So number one, Rachel envy is when you privately contrive and work the ruin of another. That's what envy is. Envy says, that person has a purse that I wish I had. They don't deserve that car or whatever. And maybe you've seen a movie where somebody was envious and they'd walk by somebody's new car and they'd pull out their key and just go, and scratch the car paint on their own way. Why would they do that? Why would they want to ruin envy? Why did the Pharisees murder Jesus?
Envy.
Even Pilate knew it. Pilate said for envy they had murdered Jesus. You cold? Do you want me to turn on the heat? Barry, you all right? Everybody's cold, I can turn on the heat a little bit. You forgot your... Whose is this?
Sure.
Did you make that for me?
Yeah,
I didn't know what you were doing. You're very kind. All right. Now, envy is terrible. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I'm never envious. And I went, oh, I bet you are. It just takes the right conditions for us to feel very angry about how somebody else may be doing better than us. And that's exactly how Rachel felt with Leah, and then when Leah felt towards Rachel back and forth. So, let's get Barry all warmed up. I don't want him, you know, out of sorts. So, let's go to number C, alright? Making demands. Rachel makes her children her goal. What ought to be the goal of a Christian? The goal of a Christian is not to have children. It's a good thing to have children, but the goal of a Christian is to walk with God. That is most important. And who else was supposed to be more important than children in the marriage between Rachel and her husband?
Jacob.
Her husband, Jacob. So in my realm of ministry, I have seen ladies who they're married. Here's this skinny guy. But to her, her attention is on having little bitty babies. And all she can think about is having these little children. And she thinks that if I have some children, I'll be happy. Guess what? When she has children, she finds out she's not happy. So then, after a little while, she skips the children. She drops them off to daycare. And then after that, she says, I've got to have a career. And then she tries 5, 6, 7 years at that, and she burns out, and she says there's no happiness there. And after that, she says, I'm going to go get another guy. So she gets a divorce, and she gets another man. What is she looking for all the time? Now, I'm giving you an extreme example. Don't take it as anybody in particular, but where's her focus? It's on herself. Instead of God already put these two together before they ever had children. All right? And what if, and I'm just using a woman there, what if she never had a husband? Who's her first relationship supposed to be with?
God.
So you see how does the world destroy a person's life? The devil destroys a person's life by getting us to get all the wrong focus. So her focus should have been first on God, secondly on the husband that she has. And she ends up making Jacob her God. Look there in chapter 29 and verse 31, Barry. Yes.
And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren.
Wow. Now, Jacob hates Leah, doesn't he? He's forced to marry Leah, doesn't want to. And so because Jacob doesn't really love Leah. Now remember, you're in chapter 30 and we're jumping right into the thing here. Here we've got Jacob and he's going to end up being married to four women. By the way, married means bound. You're locked in. So we've got Jacob
And then we got four women. First of all, the first proper wife of Jacob was who?
Leah.
All right. The next one was Rachel. All right. Now, already you got twice the number of problems, okay? It's enough to be married to one. But now he's got two wives. It was not the design, but there he is, okay? Jacob loves Rachel. That is the love of his life. But because this was the one God brought into his life, God sometimes does things through the back door, and we get very upset at God. We have our own plans. We have our own wants. And when God does it differently, when circumstances do everything differently, we hate what we end up with. Now, I'm going very fast. If you got a question, you can ask me. But he hates. So guess which one God gives children to? The one that Jacob hates. All right? So Rachel focuses on Jacob. Now, chapter 30, watch what Jacob says. In verse 2, read verse 2. Well, no, read verse 1 and 2 again now, Barry.
And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die.
As if he's the one that can give her children. Yeah. Verse 2.
And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he says, am I in God's sight? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?
Wow. So she says, you better give me children or else I'm going to die. I mean, what a way to talk, okay? So Rachel is like putting a stranglehold on Jacob here. Let's put the names up here so you're following who's who. And the envy between these two here is so intense. And she says, you've got to give me children. And he says, I'm not God. She has elevated him way too high. So she schemes. So what does Rachel do? She goes and gets another woman. What's her name, Barry?
Bilhah.
All right. And she says, come here. All right, Jacob. Now, my drawing's not great. Forgive me for it's not really well laid out. But, Jacob, I'm going to have you use this woman to give me children. Now, have women ever used other women to get their own way? They still do it. We men do it. We use other people to get our own way. This is so incredible and is so up to date. She determines to use her servant Bilhah. So that's your fill in there. Your fill in is Bilhah on a little D. Was there anybody else in the Bible that used a surrogate mother? Sarah. Boy, was that a good deal? No, it caused, and it's still causing so much trouble because of the descendant of Hagar, which was Ishmael, are the Arabs to this very day. So, Jacob becomes, he's just perfectly stupid. Why do I say that Jacob's stupid? Because he goes along with it. He says, yeah, it's a pretty good idea. And how many children does Bilhah have, Barry?
Not sure.
Well, if you read back there, you come up with Bilhah has Dan. Let's go down. All right, first of all, let me talk to you.
Yeah, seven. Seven?
No. It's actually just two, but I'll show you here. Yeah. Just a second. Jacob's stupidity, he accepts his arrangement. He goes like a sheep to the slaughter. And he is very carnal. What is Jacob thinking when he has... Listen, this is the woman he loves, isn't it? Rachel is the woman, and yet, because Rachel says, go and have sex with this other woman to give me a child, he says, sure. There's not a man alive who wishes that he had a wife, I'm talking about carnal men, who doesn't wish that his wife would let him do such a thing, to on purpose to freely go and have sex with somebody else and not be in trouble with your wife. That is how carnal Jacob was. Jacob went, whoo, sure, all right. This is not glorifying the abuse of the home. This is showing how carnality will destroy a home. So she's brought Bilhah into her bedroom. Can you imagine anything more vile? But yep,
This is what's going on. So number three, Rachel's reaping. She gets Dan. Next time you see Dan Everly, think about this was not a good kid. This is, it means judged. Dan means judged. And she's saying, yeah, God has judged me. This is Rachel. Rachel names the baby. Bila has two children. One's Dan. The other one's Naphtali, right? Tilai. I'm not sure if I'm spelling it right. Rachel names them, and Rachel says, there, God has judged me. He has proven me right. Has he? He has not. Okay, she's schemed all of this thing without God. So Dan means judge. Number B, Naphtali is wrestling. My wrestling. You know, I want to say Dan never got right. Dan, throughout history, has always been a bad tribe. They had very bad beginnings, and they never have that line. I don't know if I'm spelling it right. I haven't paid attention. Naphtali, that's it. Okay. Now, and Rachel still is not a true mother. All her children are by, and the word is proxy, P-R-O-X-Y. That's the bottom of your page in your thing there. All of them. So you got your fill-in, judged, Naphtali, my wrestling, and then C, her children are by proxy. Leah's jealous, though, now. So what's happening? Rachel's finally got some children, doesn't she? Leah's got four already, but she says to get jealous. And she says, two can play at that game. So she goes and gets who? Who does she go and get?
Zilpah.
Here's one more. Zilpah. All right. And, there's a quick quiz, okay? So list the four names of these women that Jacob is married to now at this point. I know, don't. I want you from your memory, write them down. I know you read, but I want you to write them so you remember. First one, the first one, second one, third one, fourth one. Think of the names. Don't look up there. Think if you remember them. And fill in the blanks there. Your blanks, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four women marries Jacob. Four women were married to Jacob.
Yes, isn't that sad? And they all fought over him. It's weird. Zilpah, Z-I-L-P-A-H. Again, which one is the one that Jacob loves and considers his wife?
Rachel.
And I want to ask you, which one was his first wife, the one that God pushed on him?
Leah.
And this is very important.
Even though he was strict or whatever, like...
Even though he was strict. and you got to understand. Let's consider, say I got married before I got saved. And I just married the first girl that came along. Now I get saved, and I look at my wife, she's not saved. She doesn't want to get saved. She doesn't love God. But she doesn't mind living with me. Who's my wife? Well, I don't love her anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Well, I really didn't ever love her. Doesn't matter. The one you got is the one you keep. Even if you got married under the wrong circumstances, marriage is marriage. It means bound. You are tied to them. You can't just, I'm off. There are exceptions, I know, but honestly, he was first married to Leah. And notice, he hates her. And yet God still wants her and him to be the married. He's holding on to this one. Now, honestly, God does honor this. And he honors all of them, gives them all children. But, and God uses, aren't you glad that God uses our mistakes? So, which one is God, is Jacob's rightful wife, number five, in God's eyes? Leah. Now, Jacob doesn't have a problem with it at all. Doesn't have it because all it means for him is more sex. He can have as much as he thinks he wants. So, Leah has two more children now. Who are her two additional children?
Gad and Asher.
Gad and Asher. All right. Gad means a troop. A troop is like an army. It says, oh, look at how many I have. And then Asher. Asher means happy. She says, are there two S's in Asher? No, it's just one. She's actually trying to convince herself, now I'm happy. Do you think she is?
No.
Not at all. No. Things will never make you happy. All right. Now, this is what's called manipulation. But it even gets worse. In Genesis chapter 30, Reuben's out there and he finds something called a mandrake. Do you know what a mandrake was?
Aphrodisiac.
Yes. So, aphrodisiac. That is your fill-in, aphrodisiac. I said AF, it should be APH. APH, aphrodisiac. An aphrodisiac is a substance that is supposed to increase your sexual desire. Hey, they still have those today. You can go to the chemist and you can buy things that enhance your sex life and stuff. They sell it on the internet. It is a big deal. And there it was back in those days. So he grabs up these mandrakes. And Rachel ends up bargaining, give me the aphrodisiac and you can have Jacob. It's almost embarrassing to read this stuff. All right. But Leah has Leah has Gad and Asher. That's not right. Zilpah had Gad and Asher. But Leah is so desperate to have children on her own, God actually gives her two more children. Zebulun and a girl named Dinah. Alright? So, now Zebulun means dwelling. Oh, and I'll go back. There's a guy named Issachar. And Issachar means God hears me. The Leah gets pregnant again and has Zebulun, which means dwelling. And Dinah is the female name for Dan. And it just means judgment. Again, Leah is saying, finally God is proving me right. So, here, Rachel's saying, no, God's proving me right. And what does Leah name her last child?
Judge.
Dinah. God's judged me right. Would you want to live in this home where every breakfast you get up and all the ladies are looking at each other? Can you imagine breakfast at this guy's table? He has 13 children, four women, and Jacob's trying to have his breakfast in peace. I don't believe he did it. I don't think he had breakfast in peace for a long time. Do you, Edward?
No. All right. What does Zebulun mean here?
Zebulun means dwelling. And Dinah means judgment. Issachar means God hears me. Now, at this point, Rachel still hasn't had no children. What's down here? A big fat zero. That's all that's there in Rachel's life. She's still empty. Bella's got two. Leah's got seven. Zilpah's got two. Rachel's got zero at this point. And then God remembers Rachel. And guess that's the way that God, when it says God remembers, it's not like God forgot about her. What do you think it means when it says, and let's read verse 22, 23, and 24. Francis, would you read chapter 30, verses 22, 23, 24?
What verse?
22, 23, 24, chapter 30.
And God remembered Rachel, and God heard her, and opened her, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another
son. Now, do you remember a guy named Joseph? So she now has a son.
But look at the words. God remembered Rachel. She has Joseph. And it says in verse 22, it says, and God hearkened to her. What had she been doing that he now heard? She was praying. All right. So sometimes we forget how important prayer is. And we may be praying for a long time, and then God says, time to answer. And that's the importance of prayer. Rachel has had to learn that no amount of scheming will pay off. Rachel is forced to give up, and then all she can do is pray. Does she have any more women she can bring into the relationship? No, she's already brought Bilhah in. What else can she turn to God? You know, it's best to turn to Him first, isn't it? And start with God, not end up with God. Then and only then did God give her a child, and what a child his name was, blank is Joseph. E is the word Joseph. And the importance of Joseph, his name means adding. As if to say, this is God's doing, adding to my home, and it isn't all God is going to do. She actually says, Joseph is the beginning of something God's going to do in my life. And that's very true, okay? And she prophesies that God will give her even one other son besides Joseph, and he does. So Laban, who is Laban? Anybody remember John? Who is Laban? We got Jacob here. Laban is the daddy of Leah. I'm sorry, the brother of Leah and Rachel. So we have a guy named Laban. Let's draw him over here.
His father in law now. It's not just his uncle, he's both.
Yeah. Well, he's not. Is he Jacob's uncle?
They went to just his family.
Yeah, and I couldn't remember if it is his uncle.
Rebecca's brother, isn't it?
I think Rebecca's brother. Yeah, brother Laban.
I always considered my cousins, not really uncles, but maybe you're right. I hadn't thought about it. All right. But anyway, he's the distant relative. He's not super close, but he's right. Close enough. So Jacob and Laban. Now, these guys are like nitro and glycerin. They are exactly alike. And Laban is the one who tricked Jacob in swapping out Leah and Rachel. The whole thing, boy, the two of these guys just don't belong. But here now, let's look at Laban as he renews a contract. Edward, if you'll read verses 25 to 36.
And it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Mm. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou had before I came, and it now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, I'm removing from thence all these speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come to my hire before thy face. everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I will eat my beef according to thy word. And he removed that day the goats that were ring-striped and spotted, and all she-goats that was speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. 36. And he set 3 days' journey Bethuel himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock.
Okay, so Jacob is tired of working for Laban. He says, all right, you know, I'm through. And Laban says, no. I have learned by experience that having you around has made me a rich man. God has blessed you, Jacob, and I need you to stay. What would you like for me to give you? And he says, I don't want anything from you. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll go through all of the cattle, and any cattle that has a spot, a blemish, is out of, it just doesn't, it's not all white, like the sheep aren't all white, or the cattle aren't all brown. If any are a different color, if they're off color, I'll take those, and I'll take care of all of them, but the offspring, the baby goats, the baby cows, calves, everything, of those spotted calves, if they are spotted, they're mine. If they're not, I'll give them to you. And let's see how good I am for you. And so he divides up all of the cattle, and he takes now ring straight. I'm not sure. Strake. Is that a K? Sorry. K-E-D. Ring straight means you have a cow... or any type of cattle or whatever, goat or whatever, and there would be lines on them, in around them. They just looked at defective. I had a friend who had a dog. I'm sure you've seen fire brigade dogs that have a big black spot around the eye. Mm. They'd be a white dog with a big black spot around the front of the eye. And it's just how that's just the color of them or whatever. But that's the kind of animal that he was grabbing from, because those animals were rare. So Jacob's saying, I'll take the abnormal ones, the ones that just every once in a while pop up and they're not like all the rest. And he just says, I want to see what happens. Number four, speckled and spotted are your answers for number four, speckled. And spotted. Speckled means it's got these specks and spots all over them. So Jacob's looking for the misfits. That's the word I was looking for. Peculiar sheep and goats. And he's going to work for 7 years. And any non-spotted cattle... are going to, if Laban, so if Jacob is over here, and the only kind that he has are spotted, speckled, am I known as speckled? Ring streaked. That's what his, now if he sees any, Laban over here, has all these white cows, he's got black cows, he's got brown, he's got perfect, these are all what they call purebred. Here's some spotted, speckled, ring straight. If there were any white ones over here, Jacob could be found out to have stolen and say, I'm in trouble, because he would have stolen those. So they're different, even though they may look inferior. Laban's got his cattle, and Jacob is going to have his. And so Jacob's, Laban's all for it, and Jacob is doing something kind of, he,
it's superstition. That's your fill-in for E. Jacob does something that we call superstition. Verse 37, John, read down to 43.
There's a little E.
Don't I have a little E there on, I'm sorry, under 1 and then A, B, C, D, E? Under Jacob's revenge?
No, there's no E.
Wow, okay. Well, right down next to his revenge, put down superstition.
Oh, yeah.
This is a superstition. All right, so go ahead, John.
And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and hid white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and he put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, when whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maid servants, and men servants, and camels, and asses.
All right. Laban begins to manipulate. He's got wives who manipulate. He begins to manipulate. He plays around with something called genetics. And I don't have time, but if you take two spotted cows, about a cow and a bull, guess what kind of animal you're probably going to get?
Spotted.
A spotted. Now, if you had every once in a while a spotted mixing with primarily purebred Angus cows, black or white or brown, you'll rarely get a spotted offspring. But if you just keep the spotted and speckled and ring streaked together, they will produce like themselves. So he's going to get a lot of them. And then, on purpose, and this is where he's conniving, he gets the strongest of these, and he gets with the bulls, and they reproduce, and so they become stronger. And Laban's animals, he pulls the strongest back from the watering troughs and keeps them weak, so that the weak animals of his purebred white and black and brown or whatever, they're the only ones that are producing offspring. And all of a sudden, his flocks begin to diminish, and Jacob's begin to increase. So who's blessing Jacob?
God.
No. Not at all. Jacob is conniving and scheming and manipulating so that it looks like, look at God blessing me. Be careful of watching somebody succeed. Sometimes it's all their own doing. And sure, they're smart. They got the ability to do it. But that does not mean that God did it for them. Okay? All of this that Jacob's doing is not of God. Not all of it. So Laban's in a little while going to get very jealous of the fact that his cattle are shrinking and Jacob's are innumerable. Because they did it a couple of years ago. 100 years ago. If you saw a corn stalk, and it was that big, and you saw a corn stalk that big, I'm not even going to draw all the corn kernels on there, okay? Which one would you eat, and which one would you use for planting corn?
The big one.
The big one what?
What?
The big one would you do what?
Eat it and plant it.
No. Forever, people would say, oh, this one looks good. Let's eat the larger corn, and let's take the kernels from the smaller ear of corn and let's plant it. So over time, guess what the size of the corn that they were growing, that used to be big, guess what happened to the size of the corn cobs? They would shrink. That's called genetics. It's called,
they kept using the shorter corn, and they started ended up with more and more shorter corn. The principle was, if you want bigger corn, eat the smaller one, plant the bigger ones, and over time you'll get bigger ones. So Jacob, he started off with speckled, spotted. They weren't inferior. They just looked different. And he kept the healthier ones, and he kept them reproducing, and the weaker ones he kept back from reproducing. But here, he helped the weaker ones to reproduce, and the healthier ones to starve. And he was manipulating so that these cattle got smaller and smaller and smaller on the basis of looks. Laban thought, wow, I've got the better cattle. And Laban's got the cheaper, you know, less favorable ones. Don't go by looks. I can't tell you how many people have made the mistake of... Now, Jacob's trying to use... these popular, now when it says pilled, it means peeled. It's an older word for P-E-E-L-E-D. So he would peel off pieces of bark, hoping that when the cattle were looking at these sticks that had peeled pieces of bark, that they would produce more ring-striped cattle. Do you think that works?
I heard that it does.
You've heard that it does? It doesn't. You can't start with a white and a black and end up like this because they've been looking at a peeled popular. It doesn't work.
My dad was telling me a story. It was like people got like they did an experiment with fish. If they like stuck some kind of colors into the water, the fish would like conceive like other fish that had stripes of the same color or something like that.
There's no way to introduce new information into the genetics. So that color cannot affect it. I'd like to see that study. I think that is very subjective. It's like these guys with these diviner rods. That's very subjective to me. I have to see it really. Okay. So. Yeah. So anyway, here's your application. God blesses not because of our scheming, but because of His plans. God is going to put a division between Laban and Jacob. They are going to really. The only thing that God is behind is this division where these two are going to split up. And that's what's going on. Now, you need to look at your study questions and look at those and fill those in by next week. Let's go to chapter 31, see how far we can get in chapter 31. Jacob breaks free. The sons of Laban were very envious of Jacob. Now, over the six-year period that Jacob tended the flocks, this last 6 years, they realized that Jacob was becoming stronger and stronger, and his cattle were much healthier. It appears that even though Laban tried his best to swindle Jacob, the Lord reversed Laban's plot and used it against Laban. Furthermore, Jacob's brothers-in-law made it a point to tell Laban that Jacob came to them with nothing, and now everything that Jacob has, he has taken from Laban. And to their way of thinking, what Jacob had, it was really theirs, and they wanted it back. So there's a lot of bad blood there. And Jacob needs to break free or else he's a dead man. So, A, Jacob's great escape. I'm going to ask Romeo, if you don't mind reading, verses 1 to 21 of chapter 31.
Secret escape, isn't it?
Jacob's secret escape.
31, is it?
31, verses 1 to 21.
Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he acquired all his wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not a favorable toward him, as before. And the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said this thus, the speckle shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckle, and if he said thus, the streak shall be your wages, and all the flocks bore streaks. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened, the time when the flocks conceived, that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams leaped upon the flocks, were steeped, speckled, and grey spotted. Then the angel of the God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are steeped, speckled, and grey spotted. For I have seen all the Laban's doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made woe to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there still any portion or inheritance for us?
Hold on 1 second, Romeo. I just want to get a picture, everybody.
Oh.
If you all sit down and look up here. It's okay. Just sit there and look pretty. All right. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. Good. One more. There we are. Thank you.
All right.
I know you do. Go. All right. Keep going. Sorry to interrupt you there, right, Romeo.
Is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? And we not consider strangers for him, for he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Hallelujah. Make the gross. And set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, and his acquainted livestock which he had gained in Paddan and Aram, to go to his father's Isaac in land of Canaan. Now Laban and had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's, and Jacob stole away unknown to Laban and Syrian, the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. That's it, hostile.
Then you want to do, you're doing all the way to 30.
30. What is it?
No, down to 21, that's it. 21. Sorry, I thought it was on the next page.
He fled.
No, just hold there. No, you're right. Down to 21 was right. Yeah. So towards the did you say 21? Sorry, keep going.
So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead.
Excellent. All right. A lot of verses. But Jacob sneaks away. He doesn't feel safe there. Laban has changed, and his sons are very, again, envious. There's envy throughout this family.
Yep.
And it's a bad way to live. Jacob basically has stolen, because he's manipulated the crops. And we're so far from farmers, we don't understand how that works. Laban trusted Jacob with all the cattle, and Jacob manipulated it so he had the best. And that's where things went very bad. Jacob explains to his wives why they have to leave, and he says, I had this dream. Beware of people's dreams. When they say, I had this dream that all of these were supposed to be... I mean, he's actually saying, look at all these flocks. God gave them to me. Is that true? It is not. But Jacob is acting like he's so righteous.
So you think the vision that he was saying there is just made up?
No, I think it was exaggerated. I think sometimes God may have told him, why don't you take the spot of the speckle? But he's got this idea, so it doesn't matter how I get the spotted and speckled. That's where the difference is. So, and then what's the worst thing, right? They take off and they get 3 days away from Laban. But Rachel, number 8, steals her daddy's idols. That's not a very good mother to have some idols. Look at this woman named Rachel. Who does Jacob love the most? Rachel. But look at these 4 characteristics about her. Number 1, first characteristic is she's a beautiful woman. Does that make a good mother? Makes a good wife, maybe. At least as far as looks are concerned. She was, first of all, your first fill-in, she was a beautiful woman. B, she's a spoiled brat. She's the first one that came up with the idea of using another woman to get her way. Number C, you find out she's an idolater.
she's an idolater. And number D, she's a thief. She's a thief. So not every person in the Bible that you read about is a good role model. You got to see through their humanness. Right? She's a beautiful woman. She's a spoiled brat. She's an idolater. And she's a thief. Right, number B, Laban's severe wrath is the next fill-in. Verses 22 to 30, Barry.
And it was told Jacob on the third day.
Laban.
And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done, that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters, and captives taken with the sword, as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly, and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth, and with songs, with tabret, and with harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad.
Mm.
And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods?
Wow. Do you notice he says, the God of your father, and you stole my gods? Crazy. His gods never spoke to him one day, but the God of Jacob's father. Again, not even the God of Jacob. Because Jacob has no God but his own pocketbook. Alright, so Jacob's severe wrath. Number one, he finds out that Jacob has escaped. And I want to say this, Laban is a type of the Antichrist. Right? Laban is Jacob's worst enemy. And who is Israel's worst enemy? It's not Ishmael. It's not the Arabs. It's Satan. Satan hates the Jews the most. He's a type of the Antichrist. It took 7 days. That's why he's a type of the Antichrist. It took 7 days to catch up with Jacob and his family. Jacob is running. He's traveling fast. And God intervenes. And Laban finally confronts Jacob and says, why leave? Didn't you like it here? Why'd you leave secretly? Why didn't you ask me? We could have had a party. And Laban is kind of exaggerating how everything went. He said, I should hurt you. That's a nice uncle. I should hurt you, but God won't let me. And why did you steal my gods? Now, what kind of a God can be stolen? That's what I want to know. Think about it. What kind of a God can be stolen? But anyway, so Laban hates to lose control over Jacob. Now, Jacob has a sober answer back. Verse 31, 32, Francis.
And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, fair vengeance, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me, with whomsoever thou findest thy God, let him not live before our brethren discern thou what is thine to me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen that.
Wow, yeah, he's talking really big. He's saying, whoever you find your gods with, let them die. Because he doesn't know. Who's his favorite wife?
Rachel.
Who did he just say that Laban could kill? He doesn't know that Rachel has the gods.
That happens a lot in the Bible, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Let him die, you know. It's always someone that's lost them.
It's extreme. Be careful how you pronounce judgment, how you make a vow. Wow, people are something. So he gives us two answers. Number one, he says, I was afraid. I was afraid of you. Afraid of you taking what I have. But also, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of how right I am. I know I have not done wrong. That's self-righteous. And he says, I know that we don't have your false gods. And I'm also sure, you can look and see, and if there may be any gods of yours in here, then the person who has it shall be executed. That's how I wrote it. So Laban begins a diligent search. All right. Edward, if you'll read 33, 34, and 35.
And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tent. But he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture, and sat upon them, and Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me." And he searched, but found not the images.
Alright, so he went tent after tent, and he comes to Rachel's tent, and Laban gets tricked in this tent because Rachel has brought these gods into her life and then hides them as only a woman can. Now, the time of women, I like how the Bible makes it so easy so a 9-year-old can read and it doesn't go too deep. But it's talking about a woman's period, and it's talking about how they didn't have all these sanitary things that we have today. You were supposed to stay away from other people when a woman was on her period. And so she's sitting there, she's saying, "I cannot get up because my time is upon me." And he doesn't get anywhere near her. And he stays, and she's sitting on the very box. It's a furniture that would go on the sides of the camel. She's sitting on the very box that the idols are. And so he stays, and she uses a situation, it's a lie, in order to keep him as far away from possible. And they cannot find those idols. Now Jacob begins to preach. Listen to Jacob go at it. Verse 36.
And Jacob was wroth and chose with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee, I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day of drought, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my mind."
So where was Jacob normally? While Laban was sitting at home in comfort of bed, where was Jacob normally?
Out in the field.
Out in the field watching all of those cattle. Okay, go ahead.
Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times.
Hmm.
Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac have been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now to thee. God had seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesterday.
Okay, so Jacob is pretty proud of himself. Boy, is he letting Laban know, I'm right and you're wrong. You ever been in an argument where you're on that position and you're looking at the other person going, I'm right, you're wrong. And he's saying, if you had your way, you would have ruined my life. This is the attitude that these children, Jacob's children, are growing up in a home with that attitude. So, let's look at Laban's surrender, 43 to 55. You've got our last verses there, Romeo.
Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children. This flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these to these, my daughters, or to the children whom they have born, they both. Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar, and Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones," and they took stones and made a heap, and they are there on the heap. Laban called it Jager Sahadudah.
Very good.
Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me. this day, therefore its name was called Galeed.
Now what do you think Galeed means according to the context? Galeed means a witness. This is going to say all for all time that we made an agreement here. Go ahead.
Indeed. Also his part, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me. When we are absent one from another, if you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. Till?
Keep going all the way down to 55.
Okay. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap and here is this pillar, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness and this pillar is a witness, and I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for how? The God of Abraham, God of Nahor, and the God of the Father, judge between us. Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place.
All right, so Laban gives up, and they have a nice meal. They stay there all night. He kisses everybody, and he lets them go. Whew. And if it weren't for God, Laban would never have let them go. Okay. He makes a covenant, and notice the Chaldean word, the Babylonian word, is very complicated, and the Hebrew word is just Galeed. It's very good. All right. Any questions? We'll talk more about how Laban is and a great picture type of the Antichrist. Yes, sir.
You know, it says Jacob called his brethren. Who were his brethren? No context.
Which verse?
Verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice by the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread.
I'm not sure. I would have thought he's inviting Laban, and he's inviting the whole family. He's considering all of Laban's sons and family members as his brethren, so he's inviting them. He's saying, I'm not doing this separate than you. We're going on our way, but I'm inviting everybody to eat with us. We don't want to leave as if we're enemies. So that's the brethren, but I'm not sure.
Yep.
I just took it for granted. It's Laban's sons. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, we covered a lot today. I know we're not always going to go that far or that fast, but there's a lot that we're going to try to cover. Chapter 30, 31 are some of the craziest chapters, but from here on, chapter 32 and 33, we're going to watch as Jacob is changed. Mm. As Jacob changes from Jacob to what is his new name going to be, Romeo? What is Jacob's new name going to be? Israel. It's going to be changed. Mm. So we're going to see how God does it. How does Jacob feel walking away from Laban? He is proud. He has, look at what he's accomplished. Look at how great he is, until he finds out about his brother Esau coming after him, and he goes, I'm ruined. So that's just some good stuff. I love the Bible. The Bible just lays it out better than any movie ever could. All right, you've got 2 minutes, 3 minute break before we get into angelology.
That was interesting. When we were reading one section, it looked like he went into the two maidservants' tents and Leah's, and then went into Rachel's. So I was thinking that Jacob was staying in Rachel's tent, like, because there was only four tents. So I just go back to your verses. It says Jacob had his own tent.
That's right.
So I thought that was weird. I guess you'd have to if you had four wives or something.